Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back to Author Talk. Today we have the pleasure of having with us Chris Ringo. And he is an erotic writer, so this is going to be different for us. So Chris has been talking to my partner, Queen Inoshi. And take it away, Queen Inoshi.
Hi, thank you. I'm Chris for coming. Tonight we're going to be discussing your book called The Skin Experience. Does size matter? Of course, it plays a major role in how hard one works and plays. We're blessed with a large gift, small minds will seek to hold the sweet dreams from coming bigger and better than imagined. The chocolate isn't a place for the weak link. And getting yourself to a lunge, the growing pain of fighting words. He thrust into a chain of events which will require him to erect greatness within. The skin is skin. Okay, this book was good, Chris.
it
had twists and turns. I don't want to tell anybody everything, but it had twists and turns, and everything that you would expect, it turned out to be different. It was good. It was erotic, but it was so sensual that the erotic didn't even get really bad. It was just really sensual. And I sat down to read it. And well, you know, because I think I kept you up all night. I could not put it down. I literally sat like, I gotta know what happens before I go to sleep. It was well written. Now I just applaud you for this.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
What was your inspiration to write this book?
Well, the inspiration behind it, more so like when I look at life itself, people are always saying men always think with their, you know, private part. And so I said, okay, let me play around with that and show it from a woman's perspective, just showing a man that, hey, if he do it right, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes. Now, Xavier is the alpha male. He is a prime example of just plain out sex. And not only that, but he has intelligence. And I think it's getting rare to see both handsome and sexy all in one work together. And so he was like a breath of fresh air in reading this. How did you come up with his character?
Well, see, the thing of it is, I always want to come up with strong characters. I don't want it to be like your usual characters. I want it to be something that women can find, you know, attractive as well as guys. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted him to be a man's kind of man, but also a woman's, you know, a treat to a woman as well. You know, so that's what I try to come up with, characters that are balanced like that.
Now, we know that he has a brother, Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really sure about Mason. I thought, at first, I was like, is this dude for real? I was like, is he for real? But, like I said, the more I read it, it was kind of like, wow. I mean, it was, my mouth dropped open a lot of times. Like, he was nothing like what I thought. In the beginning, I was trying to figure it out because, you know, as authors, we're trying to figure out what's going to be next.
Right.
And you had me completely, I was all the way off track. Every time I thought it was going to be one thing, it turned out to be another thing. And, like, with him, I see like, an alpha male a little bit, but you know, maybe afraid to come out of his shit.
Jarrett was. He was an alpha male. He just was more, you know what I'm saying, he was really into the art. You know what I'm saying? He was an alpha male that was really into the art. And that's why he tried to keep his younger brother, you know, helping him, you know, the latest songs, and, you know, and he was a writer. You know what I'm saying? So he was in touch with the art. When you're in touch with the art, you're a different kind of guy.
No, we have a problem hearing you. It's like a lot of weed.
I know. No, I'm not scared.
Okay, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I apologize.
Okay. That's okay. Now, what were you saying about Mason?
I was like, Mason, you know, he's a guy. He is an alpha male, but, you know, like I said, he was in touch with the art. And when you are in touch with the art, like music and writing and things like that, I believe it makes you a different kind of guy. You see the world differently when you, like, in touch with your creative self.
Now, out of the two, which one do you feel you match more on
well,
a personal level?
Yeah, a mix of both. Both of them are a mix of me. I'm sorry for you. It's just that you have to figure out which part of me am I discussing at which part between the two.
That's true, because I'm starting to think maybe you're a Gemini incognito and you don't want to tell anybody.
Well, you know what I'm saying? I'm balanced like that. You know what I'm saying?
That's true, because, I mean, it's your words, and you are smooth, and even when you're talking on a daily basis, your words are very smooth.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, because, you know, there's a lot of thought that goes into every word that I say, every word that I write, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of thought. I just don't say it to say it. I don't just put words out there. There's a reason for every word. It's like connecting like a puzzle.
That's true. Now, I see you. I'm going to be honest with you. I just want to call you as Xavier because I can just see Xavier running through your veins. I do. I mean, just he is, I have, like, I love kind of book boyfriends, but I think I want to marry him.
And, you know, that's my goal. I want Xavier to be that kind of guy for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, Indigo, do you know anyone that resembles this girl?
I know several women throughout my life that, you know, had some of her characteristics in it. So she's a blend of, you know, some women that I've known, like aunts, friends, things of that nature.
Because she's different. She is, allow me to see, you know, myself a little bit, and when
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of carrying a grudge and anger.
Right.
And I was like, you know, do I act like this when I get mad? When I get upset with someone, do I act like this?
Yeah,
you know,
and that's how she is. She feel like the world owes her, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sherry Daniels.
Ah, yes. I had fun with Sherry.
Huh?
I had fun with Sherry.
I can tell.
She's a treat.
That's what I was just getting ready to say. This woman, reading about her, I was like, yep, I want to be like her when I grow up.
You know, she's unapologetically her, you know what I'm saying? She's her. Take it how she is.
Yeah, it was something that she said, and I think I need to use that. But she told when she was talking to Xavier that I think he said it to her. Seasoned veteran of Madam Passion, you're working on something better than Miracle Whip.
You know, and that was a crazy line that came to me. It just all of a sudden popped in my head.
I was like, oh, that's hot. Like, who comes up with that? I mean, like, only you.
Yeah, that was a crazy line. I love that line.
Yeah, that's I think if anything, that's my favorite. When he said that to her, I was like, okay, I will not put this book down until I'm done. Like, because I wanted to see what he was going to say next.
That's what's up.
Okay.
Well, he had a lot to say.
Yes, he did. Beth Rogers. She called her the short-legged mistress of temptation. Tell me, when you was writing about her, where did she come from?
Okay, could you say that again? I couldn't hear you.
Beth Rogers.
Okay.
He called her a short-legged and mistress of temptation.
Okay. Basically, what I try to do when I come up with, I try to come up with the flip side of that character. You know what I'm saying? So with Sherry, I felt like she was the treat, and she was such a strong character that I needed her to have like a protege, and so that's how Bev came into it.
Okay.
So she was the younger version of Sherry to me.
Wow. Okay. Because I mean, you blended both of the characters well. Like, the way that they connected was blended so well, I was like, gosh, you know, like, you know, it's hard, I guess, or I should say, I don't see a lot of men who can write female characters the way that you did.
Mm-hmm.
To the way that they spoke, the way that, I mean, you can literally see their movement in every scene, how they would be walking, how, you know, the eye movements or the way they may have been moving their lips and stuff when they were talking. So you
mm-hmm.
painted a picture that I could close my eyes and go, I see that.
Oh, that's what's up. I appreciate that. Because that's what I strive for. I try to connect emotionally with the characters that when you read it, you can feel where I was writing that character.
Wow. You did excellent. Now, I don't want to get to the end because there's a twist in there, and I really don't want to go to the twist.
I know you probably didn't see that coming either, the end. I know you didn't see the end coming either because I didn't.
I didn't. And I'm going to tell you, when I actually, I think after I finished it, I texted you like, are you asleep? And I was pacing the floor, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't. I need part two. I got to have part two. I need to know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because my heart, you ever, like, be reading the book and you take the book and you put it to your heart and you're like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
That's how
I
was.
The funny thing about that was I was going to end it there. And my editor, when she was doing her thing to it, she told me, she's like, you got to do a part two. And I'm like, nah, that's it. She's like, no, trust me. You have to come with a part two.
Yes.
So did you come with a part two?
Oh, yes. And part two is, if you think part one, part two is just the sons, the story is great.
Go ahead. I just had to ask that question about part two.
I need it. You right on time. I need part two like right now today.
Oh, man. I mean, if you enjoy part one and the things that happened there, trust me, the sons, the three sons are going to just blow you away.
I don't know. My heart is pounding. I'm scared to read it, but I'm anxious to read it all at the same time. So have you thought of maybe doing a movie?
You know, I haven't because – you know how some people say that they have visions of their books being the movie. To me,
mm-hmm.
when I did my study of the industry itself, and you know, learning how to construct a story, I feel like when I'm writing a book, I'm giving you a movie in the book. That's just how I feel.
And you are. Like I told you, I was able to like really sit back and just see a lot of the stuff as it was happening. But I would love to just see Xavier. I just would love to see what he would look like. Because, like, I have painted in my mind what I think he looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to see him. Like, I know he's a character.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like he's kind of real a little bit. And see, you know what? When it comes to fiction, that does mess us up a little bit because we start really visualizing them, and if we're not careful, we can get caught up in the fiction of it and really feel like these people are real.
They are. They are real because they're bits and pieces of people. So they are. They do exist. They just a mix of people that, you know, I know.
True.
So
now,
you're off base by thinking that way.
Have you ever had someone that really took your character to the level of it being you and you found yourself having a stalker?
You know what? I haven't because, you know what, to me, I feel like people are still sleeping on me, you know, because I think they enjoy my post every day that I put on Facebook, but I think pretty much they paint me in a box. So
mm-hmm.
Many of them haven't really took a chance on reading my work yet. Because they may think it's just all sensual, this, that, and that. They don't understand that it's this talent that I have, it can't be boxed. So when you read my book, you're getting some of everything in it. It's not just the sensual part of it. You're actually getting a real story behind it, too. So I think with that, they have a preconceived notion of me. And, you know, they're still sleeping on me right now.
I think that's happening across the board with a lot of indie authors that have true talent, like yourself, where you're able to take a sensual story and, like you said, make it real to life as well. So it's not just sensual, but it has a meaning.
Right.
Like when you read it, there's everything that you see has an underlying meaning from it.
Exactly. And even in the book, I have messages. You know what I'm saying? Even in this book, there's a message that, you know, wherever you have a dreamer, you also have a dream killer. See, so that's in the book, too, whereas, you know, you have a dreamer, but then you also have that person that's on the flip side of that that's a dream killer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. I didn't want to bring him up, but Nelson Marx.
Yes, he's the dream killer.
He's the dream killer. And the way that you wrote his persona, I actually stopped liking him.
And that was the purpose. I wanted you to hate him and then love the fact that you hated him.
Yes. It was almost like you know how you want to go back and just like erase that one part and make it him?
Mm-hmm.
Like I wanted him to feel that way. And so I started feeling that way, and I was sitting there like, you know, Anosha, you cannot be mad at this character like this. I was upset. And I was like, why did you do that to me? You know, but like, I was really upset.
And that was the point. I want people to feel that way about him because I want you to feel that way about the dream killer. Understand that there are going to be dream killers in your life when you're trying to, you know, pursue something. So, you know, what do you do when that person is doing that to you? You know what I'm saying?
True. Yeah, and I would tell anyone when you read this or when, you know, don't sleep on Chris. He is an excellent author. This book was made not just for women but for men as well because it boosts a male, I think it boosts a male self-esteem to
mm-hmm.
read that we can look at you like that
mm-hmm.
as especially as a man of brown tints.
Mm-hmm.
The goodness in them, and that was important because these two brothers, you know, were successful.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't you know, what we would consider to be thugs or anything like that. These men worked hard for
yes,
what
they
had. And
mm-hmm.
to me, that message was positive in itself that we can do it.
Right, exactly.
And
see, that's another thing with my work. I want you all to understand that when I
come with something. I'm going to have strong men. You know what I'm saying? They, you know, they go be about the streets, but they're not street dudes. You know what I'm saying? Because it's more than just street dudes that's walking around in this world. You know what I'm saying? That they the best of both worlds, whereas, you know, when you're with them in the streets, you feel comfortable. And then when you, you know, in the boardroom or whatever, you're like, okay, they can carry on the conversation. They're going to be about their business. So that's what I try to portray in my work.
And, you know, it's something because I think with Stephanie and I, we're the same way in our writing. We don't write about, I guess what you would call street dudes. I don't know how I would say it or, you know, what people think thugs or anything. We write about men and women that have something in life, that want something in life, and know how
mm-hmm.
to go get it.
Right.
And so I was really drawn in by that. And then, okay, the cover. I don't want to switch it. But how in the world did you come up with this cover?
The cover. You know, the thing is, I don't know if people notice, but I have an OCD perfectionist, okay? And so I'm constantly trying to better myself. I had originally had another cover, but I changed it. And I wanted to, instantly when you see it, I wanted to create covers that when you look at it, you're like, okay, I know off top, that's Ringo right there. So I came with the guy putting on adjusting his tie, and then also I came with the bed in the background. I think because it portrays the simple message of, okay, there's going to be some intelligent bedroom-type things going on in here. So I want to draw you off topic, like, this going to be some grown folk stuff.
I agree. That it was that's the first thing when I saw it that made me want it, because it opened up a mystery behind this man who's well-dressed in his bedroom. And then it coupled with the name, I was like, I have got to know what this is going to be all about. And so when you hear people say the cover means a lot, it really does.
Mm-hmm.
And it was simple, but it was extravagant all at the same time, because whatever was needed was right there on the cover. It wasn't a lot of clutter because I have OCD. And Stephanie laughs at me because I literally blow, you know, you and I both know that we know we both do the graphics. I blow it up and look at it right, and I have to see it.
Right.
And it has to be, every inch has to be perfect, so I feel you. And when I looked at this, I was like, there's not a lot of clutter, and it tells the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was perfect.
Exactly.
The color scheme and everything was beautiful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, because that's exactly what I strive for, you know, to make it off top. When you look at it, you can pretty much know that, okay, I'm finna get into some grown folk stuff.
Your logo is nice, too.
Yeah, he does have a nice logo. Chris, yes, who is your editor? Since you talked about your editor wanted you to do, say, you know, part two, who's your editor so we can give them some notice?
Okay. My editor is Brooke Lewis.
Brooke Lewis?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Brooke Lewis, your name's out there.
Yeah, she's out of Chicago. She's from my area.
Okay. Well, she did a perfect editing job.
Thank you.
She really did.
So I tell her, you know, that she's very important to what I do. I do a lot, though. I miss my deadlines a lot. I'd be like, oh, I'm going to get it done on this day. She's like, okay. I lie to her a lot, you know what I'm saying?
I think we all do, though. Like, we are planning to have something, and then the characters, because I think with us, we'll tell you, if our characters are not talking, we don't force it.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't hear anything from a specific character, I will not write.
Exactly.
Because
I won't either.
Yeah, they end up fussing at me like, I didn't say that, so I'm going to need you to go back.
Right.
You know, so tell me what's next. We know that Skin Experience 2 is coming. Do you have anything else in the works?
I got, you know, I'm working hard. I got a lot of things coming. I got Wicked Eye. I have Wicked Eye 2. And, you know, the thing of it is, because I sit back and I watch, and like I said, I believe people sleep on me, and not only me, but a lot of talent from Chicago and Illinois. So what I'm trying to do is blaze the door open to where, you know, like I said, my theme is I'm coming in this industry to make Illinois. So therefore, I want talent in Chicago to start to be recognized, because I feel like when I look at Facebook and stuff like that, and they ask about who's your favorite author, who's the new favorite author, you know, Chicago people don't make that list. So I'm aiming to, you know, change that. So I got a collection of work that's going to change that, you know, if people would actually give me a chance.
Wow. But I don't think it's just Chicago. I think if you don't write street lit,
mm-hmm.
you don't get recognized.
Okay. But it's
I'm just
me.
Being honest,
maybe because
I interviewed everybody.
Chicago, I feel that way.
But yeah. I've noticed when I interview some street lit people, the room is packed.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then I get
mm-hmm.
an author like you with an excellent book, and then nobody, you know what I'm saying? So I think street lit is the draw for a lot of people.
I agree, and I'm from South Carolina. That's where I'm living now. And
mm-hmm.
we are slept on. It's like a lot of beautiful authors out there, and they are being slept on because, like for me, I do not read, I barely can read street lit because I don't relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
So when a street lit book come out, I'll make, you know, like purchase it and try to support and give it to someone that I know that reads it, but I normally don't read it. And so I
mm-hmm.
think it's across the board. Some people just, that's just not their flavor. Like
mm-hmm.
where we wrote, Wherever Yours was Central was in a very romantic. Our people are not, it seems like they don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to see the good side of who we are. So that makes a difference.
Okay. Now, see, I could write street lit because of where I'm from and what I've been through, but the thing of it is, when I'm going to tell you the real, because, like, if you actually went through that, you know what I'm saying, those type of things, you understand that it's not something you should glorify or nothing like that. There's a lot of pain that go with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have a cousin that was killed in 2006 behind all that, and I still live with that every day when I wake up. So for me to write about that type of stuff, no, I don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? I want to give you something different.
I like that, and I agree. I think that it's time for something different. It's time for us to be seen as the kings and queens that we are, and that's a message that I push out constantly, and I'm never going to bend from that because I believe in black love. Black love is delicious, or you hear me say yummy. Black love is
mm-hmm.
yummy.
Oh, it sure is.
Look, you see that? You go, okay, anyway. We have got to start seeing who we are and being who we are and being comfortable with it. And even if you're from the streets, I don't care where, you know, anywhere in the United States that you're from, if you're from the streets, doesn't mean that you cannot be kings and queens. It does not have to always be about, you know, the trap house and, you know, the females being called this, the males being called that. We don't have to do that.
Right.
And it's sad that the ones that are starting to say enough is enough, they're not being seen. Like you said, they're being slept on. And
mm-hmm.
to have an excellent book like yours, you should be mainstream already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I call you eye candy. and that comes from your book because your book really drew me in.
That's what's up.
And I'm telling anyone who hears this, email Chris. What's your email? Tell us your email real quick before we have to go.
My email is ringotheauthor@gmail.com.
Everybody,
okay,
email.
Next week before we go, I have to let you know who we're interviewing. We're interviewing author India Northfleet Lewis out of Detroit. Okay, her book is Taste Us Together. All right, Chris, I want to thank you and Queen of Noshi for being with us.
Thank
Good
you, guys.
Show. I will make a copy of it and put it in your box.
All right.
And you two have a good night.
And you have a wonderful night, too. Put your finger
okay.
in it.
All right. This was an excellent interview. Thank you so much for taking your time to come and chat with her.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a good interview. Very good.
And we'll see you for part two. Don't worry.